I've just been thinking as we were singing, we have sung a great deal about grace, and I am going to talk about faith, and so when you put the two together, I think of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of ourselves. Grace is a good. Grace is a good thing. And when we combine the grace of God with our faith in Him and His Son, the Bible says we are saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace that is so available. Thank you for your grace that is willing to go further than our sin and our waywardness has taken us away from you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you give us freedom of choice and you invite us to believe in your Son, to believe in you, and to put our faith in Him, Savior Emmanuel. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you desire this relationship with us, just puny little people. But you desire this relationship with us. Thank you that you love us enough to have sent your Son. You love us enough to be willing to forgive. You love us enough to walk with us through the mountaintop experiences of life and the very valleys of the shadow of death. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for this day, this first Sunday in the new year. Thank you for what you have done for us, how you walked with us, how you comforted us, how you led us, how you molded us. You maybe even chastened us in 2015. And thank you for what you're going to do in 2016 to the glory of God. In your church, Heavenly Father, in churches everywhere, in buildings everywhere, yes, but in your church, Heavenly Father, we praise you for what you're going to do in 2016, should Jesus tarry. And so we invite your Spirit, Father, to lead us in this new year. Lead us in faith. Faith, as Jesus talked about, that can move mountains. Help us, Father, not to be guilty of just walking through life by sight only, but help us to walk by faith. Faith in you, the living God. Faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father God, we just pray for those that are on our prayer focus and ask that you would be with them today. There's some sick and hurting and lonely folks. We pray for them today. We pray for the people downriver where the water has gotten wide and lands are underwater. We pray for them, Father, and the places that have been devastated by tornadoes. And we pray this morning for your church, Father, in the Middle East and North Korea and China and Vietnam and the Philippines and Africa and places all over the globe where Christians cannot meet without persecution and fear of radicals or the government. We pray, Father, that you would encourage them and that you would strengthen them and that you would uplift them and heal them and sustain them and help them to shine like Jesus, even in spite of persecution. Glorify your name in faraway places. Glorify your name here, we pray, today, this year, and always, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I've been thinking about faith. And I've been thinking about this new year, and for some time, I've been thinking about what would be a good topic to talk about as we move into this year, and I have concluded that this topic was what the Lord put on my mind. He put this phrase on my mind for today. It's simply moving ahead into this year by faith. Now I know that you say, well, I got faith, Jim. Praise God for that. And I'm going to refer to Hebrews chapter 11 today because most of you know that's the faith chapter. And we don't have time to go through all of it. And it's such a good chapter, I'd encourage you to read it today. As a matter of fact, it's the first Sunday of the year. And I would encourage you, if you have never read through the Word of God in its entirety, I would challenge you to try it this year. I, for a lot of years of my life, never read it either. And then an old preacher came to church one day and challenged us to read the Word of God. Read it every day. Read it through, he said. And I took that challenge about 30 plus years ago. And I thought, if he can do it, then I can do it. And I've been reading it through ever since, cover to cover, on a yearly basis, just to know a little bit more about what's in there. And so, may I encourage you, if you have never done that this year, read the Word of God all the way through, and then tell me at the end of the year what you thought. Because God will speak to you. Amen? Are you hearing me this morning? This is His Word. And God speaks to us through His Word. We will never know the will of God for our lives if we don't know the Word of God. Amen? And so, let me just encourage you. If you've never read through the Word of God, there's even some, back here on the back table, there is even some outlines of how you might read through it this year. So many chapters, so many pages, whatever. And so I would encourage you to do that. Now, moving ahead by faith. Today's message is simply to encourage us to move into this new year by faith and not by sight. And I mentioned that already, and I want to say what I mean. I think that much of what we do in everyday life, I worked at the factory for a long time, and I farmed, and I've been a pastor for a little while, and so I've done a lot of things, and you've done a lot of things. And I think that most of what we do in life, we do it by either because I've done it before, because I'm pretty sure I can, because I got money enough, because I got education enough. We do it more so by sight than by faith. And I want to show you some examples this morning from Hebrews chapter 11, where when God challenges you to move in a direction that's uncomfortable, or when God challenges you to move into the unknown. I'm asking us that in 2016 we might move in that direction by faith and not just by sight. Because if we're going to move just by our own abilities or by sight, or maybe, well, I can do that because I did it before, that's not the faith that God is asking us to move by. And so I want us to look at Hebrews 11 for a few minutes and see just a couple of the verses in that wonderful chapter. I'd encourage you to read it all this afternoon if you get a chance. It is called the faith chapter. I want to pick it up at verse 30. And so, if you've got your Bible or you want to watch on the big screen, here we go. Hebrews 11, beginning at chapter 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. And I know that you know this story. I know that you've probably read Joshua before, and you know that God, as they crossed the Jordan River, God said to Joshua, there's this massive fortress of a town there called Jericho. High walls, broad walls, fortified walls. And God simply said to Joshua, walk around it. Matter of fact, do that the first day, and the second, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and sixth, and on the seventh day, walk around it 7 times, and then I will take over. You see, Joshua could have felt, and we have felt this way when the walls of life have been there, we have felt, as Joshua could have, I can't do it. Haven't we felt that way? We've been there. I've been there. Still there once in a while. But we have got to think, as God impressed upon Joshua that day, we have got to think not so much in our capabilities and our abilities, but if God has called us to it, then we've got to think in His capabilities and His abilities. And so when he said to Joshua, you can read about this in the first couple chapters, he told him what to do. Joshua did it. Lo and behold. And so then we get to this writer of Hebrews, and he writes, by faith, the walls come tumbling down. Not because Joshua was strong, not because he had a big army, not because they had bulldozers and everything else. By faith, these walls came down. That's it. And so I've been challenging myself, and I encourage us, may we move into 2016 by faith at those looming walls that are ahead of us. Because God has called you to something. He's going to take care of the walls. Amen? He's going to take care of the walls. By faith, the writer pens, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. But when she had received those spies with peace. You know the story if you've read Joshua. Rahab was a prostitute. But somewhere along the line, she'd heard about this God of the Israelites. She'd heard about these 10 plagues in Egypt. She'd heard about the Red Sea parting and Israelites walking through on dry ground. She'd heard about that and she believed it. And when these two Israelites got into Jericho as spies, when they got in there, she hid them at her place and she said to them, in paraphrasing, remember me when you come and your God takes control and tramples this city. And so we get to the writer of Hebrews, and he reminds us it was the faith of this prostitute that saved her. And may I encourage us again to remember, friends, the verse that I quoted a moment ago, it is God's grace and your faith, my faith, people's faith in Jesus Christ as Lord that saves. I can't work my way. The Bible says it is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. I can't be good enough. I'm not good enough. None of us are. But by faith you are saved. And Rahab, it was the same thing. She believed in God. She believed in this God of the Israelites. And she said when those spies came, watch out for me. Remember me. I believe your God is real. She believed by faith. And the writer pens, by faith this prostitute did not perish with all the rest of them who didn't believe. Now, I don't know if you're grasping what I'm trying to say this morning, friends, or not, but I'm simply suggesting that if we claim the name of Jesus, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, what we need to do as we proceed in life needs to be done by faith in Him. We have some faith in our own abilities. We have some faith in ourselves of what we can and can't do. But as followers of Jesus, we need to move forward by faith in Him. I just feel that way too much of the time, I have been guilty, and perhaps you have too, of putting human limitations on God. Well, I can't do that, so it must not be what God wants me to do. And you see what we do when we do that? We put Him in a human box. I can't do it, so God must want me to do it either. I fear way too oftentimes, Jim, and perhaps you have been guilty of putting Him in a box. Well, I don't think I can do that. Matter of fact, I used that excuse for a long time when I was at the factory and comfortable. And this preacher from the Free Methodist Church was coming to me and saying, I think God is calling you into the ministry and I think you should come and help. And I'm rationalizing, I don't think He is. I'm not a seminary student. I'm not a scholar. Matter of fact, I got one full-time job and I got a farm. I don't know that He is calling me into the ministry. And I was thinking on Jim's abilities. And when we think on our abilities, friends, we ain't ever going to get it done for Jesus. We got to put our faith in Him and not move forward by sight. I've used the excuses. When God wants me to go do this or go do that, I've used the excuses. And He wants us to move by faith, not by what we think we can do. Because when He is in it, the walls come tumbling down. Amen? When He is in it, miracles happen. And I don't want to be guilty, even though I have been and had to repent of this. I don't want to be guilty of going into another year and going only by my abilities or my sight. I want me and us, people of God, to move into this year by faith in the living God and what He can do. Regardless of what those walls are. I'll tell you this from my own personal experience. When God calls you to a task and you know it's Him speaking, He isn't going to send you on your own abilities. He's going to equip you with His. And so, lest you think that, you know what, I don't think I can do that. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure God wouldn't call me to do that. I don't want to go visit that neighbor. I don't even like that neighbor. When God calls you to do something and puts it on your mind, He's going to give you the right ability to do what He's called you to do, and the walls will come down. But when we back up and make excuses, I don't think I can overcome them walls. You're never going to see the miracles in the hand of God. When we put our faith in ourselves and what we can do or what we have done or what my pocketbook can buy, we're never going to see the miracles of God until we really genuinely put our faith in Him and His abilities. I told the earlier service this example. I think it's a good example, and a lot of you know it already, but some of you don't. When we were asked by Pastor Salek, he wanted to move back to Pakistan. He asked us for $50,000. Initially, our mind would have said, forget it. Am I right? That's what our mind would have said. Or, who do you think you are? We got needs too. Initially, our mind would have said, when he came to us, he came to me and asked us, would you consider a $50,000 donation to help me and my family go back to Pakistan and tell them the good news of Jesus, we naturally would have thought in our minds, how about $5,000? We can do that. Our pocket, our checkbook can do that. That's not faith. That's moving by sight. And God has called His people, the Joshuas, the Rahabs, the Abrahams, the Moses. You read the chapter. It's full of those examples. And even in my life, when God calls us to move by faith, He intervenes. And the walls come down. I'd like to tell you the whole story about that $50,000. We did send it to Him. And God blessed us, I'll tell you that much. But I think that way too much of the time, I have been guilty, and maybe you have too, of putting God in this box of our own making. I don't think I can do that, so therefore it must not be what He wants of me. We put Him in that box, and we leave Him in that box, and miracles do not happen because we've left Him in the box of human making. That's what I think. But I'm here to tell you, I'm living proof. God does not work within human limitations. I'm a failure, okay? I'm like Paul, chief among sinners. But God doesn't work just within human limitations. When He calls you to something, He equips you. When He calls you to the Jerichos of life, and those walls are high and they're fortified, and they might even have armed guards up there, when He calls you to it, He will take care of the walls. And I'm simply suggesting, when God's people move into this year, this week, this day, or this next issue in life, when we move into it with faith in Him, things will happen. Because He's called us to it, He's going to bring you through it. I believe that. This chapter is full of those kind of examples. I'm going to read a little bit more. Time's going away on me, so I'm going to read a little bit more. But it's a great chapter. Please take a look at it this afternoon or this week. And what more shall I say, verse 32 says. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah. You can read all about those guys and you can read about their feats. Gideon is pretty well known, and let me just say, Gideon with an army of 300 overcome an army of 120,000 Midianite men, soldiers that had come to war. And Gideon with 300 people and God won the victory. Now, if we would have looked at that scenario by sight, 300 to 120,000, this isn't fair. I don't think we should do that. That's what looking by sight is. And God says, look at it by faith, because when I've called you to it, I'm going to show up. That's what happened with these guys, the Gideons and the Jephthahs. And then he said also of David and Samuel and the prophets. You remember, let me just say this. You remember the story of David? Even our children remember that. Here's a teenage boy, 110 pounds soaking wet, 15, 16 years old. And he's about to take on Goliath. He's 6 cubits in a span. Remember that? That's 9.5 feet tall. Going at this by sight, we would say, I can't do that. But when we have faith in the living God, and he knew that God had called him to this nasty old Goliath because he was defying the armies of the living God, God took over, and this little teenage boy. That's by faith. That's what the faith chapter is all about. And there's a lot more in there, but time is away far enough, so I'm not going to read it all. But I do want to read the last verse that I had today. It happens to be the first verse in chapter 12. Therefore, the writer says, therefore we, that's us, that's us today. If we're following Jesus Christ, that's us. If you're not following Jesus or not sure about that, I'd encourage you today to put your faith in the resurrected Christ. Believe him and receive him by faith. But the writer of Hebrews says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that's the folks in chapter 11, all those people he just told us about faith. Therefore, he says, we also, since we are surrounded by these people, these pillars of faith, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. 2016, this week, the next test, the next trial, the next wall, let us run with endurance the race of life. And keep our eyes on Jesus. Now let me just say this about this. I believe that the writer means at least in part when he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. I believe that that's partly at least the sin that he's talking about is trusting only in ourselves and our abilities. Because faith moves us beyond our abilities and puts it on God. And I believe part of what the Hebrews writer is saying there, let us not let this sin of unbelief and your abilities hamper us. Let us not be bogged down by that. But let us run the race with endurance. Let us run the race and keep that is set before us and look unto Jesus and his abilities and his sacrifice and his blood and put our faith in that. And so, let me just say, I'm not done, but I'm going to quit because we're going to celebrate communion. Let me just say that in 2016, my prayer for me, my prayer for us, people of God, number one, that your faith is not in Jim, not in some pastor, priest, president, or leader, but in Jesus. Are you hearing me? Our faith is in Christ. He is the only one that saves. Not my church membership, not my church attendance, not my putting in the offering plate, not my good works. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so first and foremost, my prayer is that our faith is in the resurrected Christ. And number two, as believers, When our faith is really in Christ, then may we run this race set before us with endurance and eyes set on Christ. May we run this race by faith and not by sight. Because sight will get us bogged down in my inabilities or yours. May we run this race with eyes set on Jesus. And when He calls us to something, whatever it is, or we see that mountainous city and walls ahead of us, may we proceed with faith in the one that can deal with all of that this year. To God be the glory. Amen.